Good evening. When we anoint you with the ashes, one of the classic statements that's made is, remember that you're dust, and the dust you shall return. But in looking into that whole history of that, I've discovered that one of the other common used expression by those who do Ash Wednesday things, those who historically have, is not just remember that you're dust and the dust you shall return, but also repent and believe in the gospel. So tonight, when we anoint you with ashes, we're going to say those things over you. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now that doesn't mean, repent doesn't mean, now give up all your sins so that you can believe in the gospel. Remember, the word repent just means to think with. To think with. And therefore, when we hear the gospel, God's saying, repent of everything you've believed that's contrary to the gospel. And believe in the gospel, the good news. And when the angels encountered the shepherds, they said, there's good news for you that will bring great joy. And that good news that for you today, there's been born a Savior. That's the good news. And Christ came to save us from our fallen condition, our fallenness, not just our sin in terms of forgiveness, but our sinfulness, our brokenness. Amen? So the good news is that there's a Savior for you and for me to save us from our fallenness and our brokenness. And so tonight, when we use that phrase, repent and believe in the good news, in light of what I'm going to say tonight, I believe that in this Lent season, that God's going to be reminding you of the gospel, the good news about you, God's good news for you, and that you'll repent of anything that contradicts that. Jesus is the truth. And if he's the truth, he's also the truth about you. And God changes us by not just exposing sin, but by revealing lies that we've believed as Christians about ourselves, and then applying Jesus as the truth in that issue or that situation in our lives. Okay? So this is similar to some things I shared today at noon. A little bit different, but very similar. When the fall happened, the immediate consequence of the fall is that Adam and Eve, seeing each other's nakedness, even though they were naked before, I believe they were covered in the glory of God, and that glory was removed, they sewed fig leaves and hid from each other, and they hid behind trees from God. And God called them out of that hiding, and he spoke to them both. He said, what is this you have done? And Adam said, well, it was the woman that you gave me. And then when he talked to the woman, she said, well, it was the devil. It was the serpent. And so the Lord called them out of hiding because he came seeking them. He wasn't hiding from them. He came seeking them and pursuing them, pursuing humanity. And he gave them an opportunity to own their stuff. Lent is a time, an extravagant time in our lives. The word Lent again means to lengthen. God wants to lengthen your spirituality, lengthen your spiritual life. Lent is an extravagant time of God calling you out of hiding and giving you an opportunity for him to speak into your life, so that he can reveal the truth about you in Christ and expose any lie so he can set you free. Amen? There's a place in 1 Corinthians 13. This has been one of those verses that kind of blown me away today. Chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall fully know. I shall know fully, just as I have also been fully known. So here's the thing about this season of Lent. As we open ourselves up to the Lord, and we're willing to come out of hiding, God knows everything about you. One of the translations says, and you are fully known and understood. God knows everything about us. He understands everything about us. And yet I find, and I found over the years, that many people, many Christians, have a hard time owning their stuff because their fear is that if they own their stuff, one, they might lose control, but two, they fear rejection and abandonment. Because they relate so often, it may have been drummed in them, that their acceptance before God and before people is based on their performance. Okay? We've talked about this some in recent months, that the whole thing of the result of the fall that's affected humanity is that we live with this fear of abandonment. We live with this fear of rejection. And therefore, we struggle with guilt and condemnation. And we get bent towards ourselves to try to perform so that we can guarantee acceptance. And though it may be as a result of a parent or a sister or a brother putting that stuff in us as we grew up about trying to perform, constantly reminding us that we're not doing it good enough, is that we really could put that on the Lord. And what God wants to do, I believe, in this season of Lent, is so that you can fully allow Him who knows and understands you completely to be able to speak into your life so He can reveal the truth, but also, again, set you free from the lies. So I want you to hear the gospel in a condensed form. This will not be a really long word, but I want you to hear the gospel in a condensed form from John 14. This is John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you." Now listen to what verse 18 says. Now, I often hear, particularly in the charismatic world, people talking about Christians having an orphan spirit. I don't know. I can't say to you whether I know there's actually a demonic spirit called orphan, but I know that a lot of people live with an orphan mindset as a result of the fall. And that's why they fear rejection and abandonment if their performance isn't perfect. Somehow they think there's separation or a possibility of separation, that somehow God won't allow you to experience intimacy with Him. God will not let you experience favor with Him unless you get it right enough, unless you're performing good enough. You with me? Let me share this quick word with you, and then we'll come and receive. Jesus said in John 14, 18, He said, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you." And the way He explains about us not being left as orphans, He said, "Because I live, you'll live also. For on that day, when the Holy Spirit's poured out, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I'm in you." That's the gospel. Now think about that. If Jesus is in the Father, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father's, and I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. If Jesus is in the Father and you're in Christ, then you're in the Father also. There's no orphan there. There's no one abandoned there. There's no fear of abandonment there. Jesus said, "You and me and I and you." Jesus has grafted us into His person. We've been grafted into His sonship and His life. And so there's no fear of abandonment. There's no fear of separation. Okay? I say all that to say this. It says in Colossians 3 that you have died, the one that used to be, and your life is hidden with Christ and God. And He says, now when Christ is your life. So if Christ is your life, you don't have to fear being open to God, that if you're open to Him and you own your stuff, that somehow you're going to experience some rejection. It can't happen. He can no more reject you than He can reject Jesus. Jesus is in the Father, and you're in Christ, so you also are in the Father. So this Lent, because you've now been the nakedness of the fall, You've not just been clothed with garments from the skins of animals. It says in Galatians 1:27 that you are clothed with Christ. For your life is hidden with Christ. You've been clothed in Christ. So I don't have to fear rejection. There's no more self-rejection. I don't have to fear abandonment. There's no orphan mindset. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And what did he do when he came to us? He grafted us into his very life and his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So in this season of Lent, dare as one hidden in Christ, not one exposed, but one hidden in Christ, to allow the one who knows everything about you and understands everything about you to speak into your life. I can tell you what he'll first and foremost talk to you about, the truth about who you are in Christ. And then there'll be times when he'll reveal to you lies that you've believed about yourself, lies that you've believed about God, not to condemn you, but to set you free. And in that area in your life where he gives you the opportunity to own your stuff, again, he won't condemn you, but what he'll do is say, now, Jesus is the truth about you in this area too. See, aren't you glad that God never defines us when we're at our worst? He always defines us at Jesus' best. I'll read this one verse and then we'll stop. This is verse 19 from a different translation in John 14. In yet a little while, the world will no longer see me, but I will be tangibly visible to you in the very life we share together. That's the gospel. And so tonight, when we do the ashes and I say, repent and believe in the gospel, all I'm doing is asking you to give the Lord, the one who knows everything about you, who understands everything about you, to speak into your life during these 40 days of Lent, the gospel, so that you can be set free from anything that would keep you from experiencing what he paid such a price for you to experience. Amen? Repent and believe the gospel that he said, I will not leave you as orphans. Don't fear, whatever it might be, owning your stuff. Because the fear of being an orphan and being abandoned, that's been taken care of in Christ forever. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.